Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines, and we would love to hear from you on today's program, 844-322-2742. There's lots going on in the world today. There's lots going on here in the United States of America. There's lots probably going on in your own life. So if you have questions, if you have concerns, if you have Bible questions, go ahead and call right now. Get in line early, 844-322-2742. This month we're talking about hope, the hope of the gospel, the fact that God is the God of all hope, and what that means to you and me. All of us need hope in our lives, and certainly in 2020, there's a lot of people searching for hope. Their situations have become dire. Their circumstances are bleak. They don't know if there's a way through them, and so they're losing hope. And we've talked about the fact that during this time, during this pandemic, over 50% of Americans have said they've experienced some type of depression or anxiety or hopelessness in their lives. They're feeling down and out. Psychologists and psychiatrists are seeing that clinical anxiety and clinical depression are on the rise. There's all sorts of things happening in our world today that is affecting us at large and affecting us individually. So if you have a question, we would love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And the passage that I want to read today is 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses. And this is a fabulous passage about the hope that we have in Christ. And so it says this: "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." So if you've believed the good news of Jesus Christ, you have received Him. You have become a child of God. You're a new creation. You're not that old person anymore. You died in Christ, you were buried in Christ, and you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And that means you're walking in the newness of life as a new being, a child of God. That is what you are. So this is an identity that is unshakable. It's immovable. It's there because God has declared you to be a child of God, and God has birthed you into His family through regeneration by the Holy Spirit. So you are a child of God. Now, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. So the world didn't know who Jesus was, even though Jesus, while He was on the scene for those 3 years in His public ministry, was constantly making claims about Himself, that He and the Father were one before Abraham was. He existed. So He said all sorts of things like that, and certainly the Pharisees heard what He was saying loud and clear, and they judged Him to be blaspheming. And they said, "You, a mere man, are calling yourself God or making yourself equal with God." So the world didn't buy into what Jesus was saying about Himself. The religious leaders of the day, certainly the Roman Empire, did not give any credence to the person of Jesus Christ and the claims that He made about Himself. And so since that was true of Him, the world is going to look at us in the same way. It's not really going to know who we are as children of God. But He goes on to say, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared." So there is going to be a time when we're going to fully see what it means to be a child of God, and so will the world. "But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." Now, talk about a statement of truth. Talk about something that absolutely blows your mind. It's this fact: when Jesus Christ appears, we're going to see Him for who He is. and we're going to be like him. We're going to be transformed. We're going to receive our resurrected bodies, and we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 3, and everyone who thus hopes in him. So this is our hope. So some point in the future, Jesus Christ is going to return. When he returns, he's going to gather us up unto himself. We're going to be transformed in a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be like Jesus. That's our hope. Well, that's something that's going to take place in the future. It's not maybe or I hope so or that sort of thing. This is a definite. This is a promise of God. God is faithful to his promises. He has kept his promises all throughout human history. He's going to keep this promise about the return of Christ and what's going to happen to us. So this is guaranteed, and the Holy Spirit living inside of us is that deposit guaranteeing this event will occur, just as the Lord has said. So everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So we know that when Jesus Christ appears, we're going to see him for who he is, and we're going to be like him. And knowing that truth, having that hope, begins to shape us and to transform us here and now. So if that's going to be the case for me in the future, I want to start living that out here and now. If I'm truly a child of God, I want to experience that. I want to express that. I want to live that out in this world. And so what does that mean? It means trusting Jesus Christ, allowing him to live his life through us. It means being renewed in our minds by the Holy Spirit. It means being transformed by that renewal of the mind, not conforming, not blending in, but standing out as children of God. So this is our hope in Jesus Christ. This is what shapes your here and now. So if you're struggling, if life circumstances have you down, read this passage, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Star it, underline it. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God, and the reason you're a child of God is because God the Father has lavished his love on you in Jesus. And through that love, he transferred you out of the kingdom of darkness and placed you into the kingdom of his Son, and whom he loves. That is good news. So this is all because God so loved you. So read this, and I guarantee you this truth will lift you up out of those circumstances. This will lift you up above all of those negative emotions and allow you to look at the Lord and say, thank you. Thank you for making me a child of God. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number to call. My name is Bob Christopher. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your day today. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It is the book, The Hurt and the Healer, written by my friend Andrew Farley and Bart Millard. Bart Millard is the lead singer for Mercy Me, and he wrote a song with this title, and he and Andrew got together and put together a book, and this book will be a great source of healing and comfort for you, and we want to put it in your hands as our way of saying thank you for supporting Basic Gospel this month. You can go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. There's a big banner right on the front page that has the cover of the book and a link right there. You can click, follow all the information, make your gift to Basic Gospel, request your copy of The Hurt and the Healer, and we will put it in your hands as quickly as we possibly can. You can also call that toll-free number, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742, and request your copy of The Hurt and the Healer. And this is the type of resource that once you read it, it can benefit you. It can help you personally in your journey with the Lord, but it's also a great tool to put in the hands of somebody else. I guarantee you, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your church group, in your circle of friends, you're going to meet people who are hurting, who are feeling hopeless, who are feeling down and out. Well, this is a great resource to put in their hands to help lift them out of those circumstances. So don't miss out on getting your copy this month of Andrew Farley and Bart Millard's book, The Hurt and the Healer. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call right now. We will look forward to hearing from you. Well, let's go to a call that came in overnight. This is from Kat in Canada.
Hi, Bob. It's Kat. I'm going through a lot where I live right now. Living with mentally and physically challenged people, I'm in low rental housing, which is subsidized, but I wasn't expecting it to be like this. I guess I just want to learn, how do you hear the Lord? Because I'm just wondering if you hear him through your thoughts. So I guess it's learning to decipher which is what and which is coming from you, whether it's from the enemy, the flesh, the devil, or from the Holy Spirit, which is Christ in you, of course, the hope of glory. All right, thank you, and bye for now.
Well, Kat, thanks for that. I know a lot of people have questions about how to discern the will of God, how to make decisions in day-to-day life, and certainly we don't want to make the wrong decision. And oftentimes the fear of making a wrong decision actually paralyzes. We won't make any decision. We just get stuck in the mud. Well, when you look at what the Word of God has to say about the decisions we make, the freedom that we have in making these decisions, it can really kind of lift us up out of that mud and enable us to make a step forward, to actually make a decision and to make it with confidence, knowing that either way, God's going to take it and work it together for our good. So we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and the Holy Spirit is there to lead us and guide us in our day-to-day lives. But what the Holy Spirit does is guides us into all truth. And that's what we need, and it's that truth that enables us to experience freedom. The freedom to choose, the freedom to make decisions, knowing that we're going to be all right with whatever decision that we make. There are certainly some decisions we know we shouldn't make because the Word of God is very clear that that's not the path that we need to take. But there's other decisions that God gives us just total freedom. Where to live, what kind of job that we want, what schools we may want to attend, what churches that we want to go to. These are all decisions that God has given us freedom to make. So we take in information, we look at all that information, we process it, we synthesize it, we kind of analyze it, and then we say, hey, this is the direction I want to take as far as a church is concerned or as far as a job is concerned. And I'm going to boldly step in that direction, knowing that God is going to work it together for my good. If it wasn't the best decision, it's still a win-win for me. Why? Because God is for me, and God has promised that he is going to take this and work it together for good. So you, Kat, you got into a situation, a living situation. You felt like you heard from the Lord that this place was the right place. You had some expectations as far as that place is concerned, and those expectations weren't met. So now you're questioning your judgment. You're questioning your decision making. And I think you just step back and say, well, this is the decision I made. I thought it was the best decision at the time, and certainly it was the best as far as a financial decision was concerned. So you have to step back and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I have this place to live in. And no, it's not the best of circumstances, but it's still a place. And if there's something else that I can do, some other place that I can find, then I'm open to exploring and seeing what else is out there and seeing if I can make that happen. But I don't think you need to judge yourself or condemn yourself saying, hey, I just didn't hear from the Lord correctly on this and I went the wrong way. No, you made a decision. And God still loves you. God is still for you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So take confidence in that. You are a child of God. He's promised to work it together for good. He's not going to abandon you because you made a wrong decision. No, he's right there with you. And so trust him, thank him. And I think that will change your perspective. That will change your attitude. Well, Kat, thank you so much for that question, as always. Let's go to Fort Worth and talk to Christina, who's listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Amazing.
Well, gosh, I like that. That's that's fantastic. So what's on your mind today?
Okay, so last night, I have a fellow Christian woman who attacked me about abortion, basically telling me it's not my job to tell people it's bad or that it's murder. And we're both Christians. And I respect you and your organization. And I just wanted to know, like, sometimes I feel like I'm crazy and that the Lord has told me it's wrong. So much so that I volunteer at a pregnancy center. I just don't know what's going on in the world. And I wanted to know what you thought God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit felt about abortion.
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. It's sin. And I mean, I don't think we have to have a big, long discussion about that. It is what it is. And I think it's right to take a stand and to say this is wrong and to do what we can to bring that out to the culture, to do what we can to, battle it in courts and all of those sort of things. But Christina, I think what you're doing and volunteering at a crisis pregnancy center is probably the absolute best thing that we can do. And, there's this idea that's out there in the world today that the baby in the womb, for the early part of the pregnancy, it's just a blob. It's not a real human. And I think, Christina, you have the opportunity at that crisis center to be able to tell the truth and through sonograms and those sort of things to help soon-to-be moms see the truth, that there is a real baby with facial features and arms and fingers and toes and all of those things. And I think when people see it, their hearts just are tugged by, hey, there's a real life inside of me.
Yeah.
And they change and move in a different direction. And, abortion, the number of abortions year in and year out over the last 10 or 15 years has been slowly declining. And I think the reason it's declining is because of people like you, Christina, who are working and volunteering and helping people see the truth that this truly is a human being inside of you.
Well, thank you.
So blessings to you, Christina. Keep doing the good work that you're doing. The Bible, from start to finish, is a book that says choose life. And I think that's where we take our stand, okay?
Thank you. Have an amazing, blessed day.
Hey, you too, Christina. Thanks for
your
call. We sure appreciate it. Well, what a touching call. And man, what a heart. I just love hearing a heart like that. Somebody that is living out this good news of Jesus Christ, living it in such a way she's making a difference in the lives of people who are really in a difficult, difficult situation, and they're weighing a very heavy decision. So thank you, Christina, for doing that. We have this question from Bill, who's watching us on our YouTube channel today, and grateful for all those who have tuned in to our YouTube stream and also our Facebook stream. But Bill says this: my wife and I recently began studying dispensationalism and rightly dividing the word. What is your opinion on dispensational teaching? Well, Bill, I think with every kind of theological position, there's some very positive things that we can take away. And I think dispensationalism really emphasizes the grace of God, and that is powerful. I've dabbled in dispensationalism. I've read just numerous books about that, and we used to give out C.I. Schofield's little booklet, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. So I think there's some very, very positive things about dispensationalism. But with every other theological viewpoint, there's some limitations as well. So here's what we tell people, Bill. There is a divide in the Word of God that we really need to pay attention to. And that divide is between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We can't blend those two. We can't try to put them together, piece them together, and make something different as far as Christianity is concerned. You know, Jesus had these illustrations. You can't pour new wine into old wineskins. Well, what is that an illustration of? Trying to pour the new covenant into the wineskin of the old covenant. Well, what happens when you do that? Well, you lose the purpose of both. That old wineskin has already been stretched to its limit. And then when you put new wine into it, it starts the fermentation process. It expands that skin, and that skin will break. And when it breaks, you lose the old and the new. So we need to make a division between the old and the new, between the purposes of both. So why did God give the law? What's the spiritual purpose of the law? It's not to make us righteous. It's not to save us. It can impart life to us. It is weak and useless as far as those things are concerned. But it's very good at what God designed it to do, and that's to give us the knowledge of sin, to show us where we've come up short, where we've missed the mark, so that we can understand that we need a Savior. So the law was given to identify our need. It's a diagnostic tool, a spiritual diagnostic tool. But once the law has done its work, it steps aside and gives way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Lord can save us. Only the Lord can make us alive. Only the Lord can impart His life to us. Only the Lord can make us righteous. So we need to pay attention to the purpose of the law and the purpose of grace. And when we make that division, when we clearly delineate the two, then this gospel message really comes alive for us. So, Bill, I would stick to that single division as far as what the Word of God has to say. I mean, the Bible from start to finish is the story of Jesus. It's God's testimony concerning His Son. It's God's testimony concerning the life that is available to us in Jesus Christ. And the law was just a servant as far as that message is concerned. It had a purpose, but it's not the sole purpose. So when we keep that delineation straight, the Word of God really falls into place. And also we need to realize that as believers in Christ, we are new covenant believers. The cross is basically the dividing line. Jesus fulfilled the law right there at that cross of Calvary, and He also, in fulfilling it and shedding His blood, He ushered in a brand new covenant. So that's the good news of the gospel. So if you'll stay right there, I think this Word of God will be really, will come alive for you. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for joining us on today's broadcast. I'm sorry that we couldn't get to all of our questions on the line, Antoine and Brad. We encourage you to call back on Monday's broadcast. Tomorrow, a special edition of Basic Gospel as we continue our teaching edition through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. So don't miss that. We're talking about forgiveness of sins, a very, very important topic. Well, now for all the team here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.